From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Some Juneau Elementary School students are returning to a nearly normal school schedule starting on Monday. Most schools are just finishing a full week of distance learning as a precaution after spring break travel. So it came as a surprise to some parents when the Juneau School District announced Thursday that it plans to have elementary students attend in-person class 4 full days a week. Most will start the new schedule on April 5th, with a few other classes and schools starting on April 12th. Wednesday will continue to be an independent learning day. For Sanjay Piare, it's welcome news. He says his kids have been tapped out on remote learning after a full year of distance learning. He has a daughter at Saik Gastineau Community School.
It's going to be a lot more effective for the teacher and for the teacher to go back and ask questions and zero in on students and whatnot, how much they're picking up.
Piare also says it'll give his kids more of an opportunity to have a social life.
Just being able to goof off and be kids in a normal environment is a healthy thing.
Superintendent Bridget Weiss says the decision is an important step towards students' academic, social, and emotional recovery. She says that the district will be flexible as families adjust to the change in the next few weeks. Distance learning will still be available for families who have decided not to return to in-person classes. Kristen Bartlett with the school district says the minimal risk level in the community and recently updated guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention contributed to the decision. The district is going by the CDC's recently updated guidelines to keep students at least 3 feet distanced instead of 6 feet throughout most of the day. Mitigation measures such as masking will continue to be implemented. In other news, contractors plan to break ground on a multi-million dollar airport project in Gustavus this month, but newly discovered toxic chemicals at the site make the state-run project more complicated. And as Claire Strempel with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, some residents don't think environmental oversight goes far enough to keep them safe.
The upgrade at Gustavus's state-run airport is a decade in the making. But just a few years ago, contaminants were discovered at the airport and in water, soil, and wells around the remote southeast community. The contaminants are called PFAS, a group of toxic chemicals found in firefighting foam that used to be required at airports and defense sites. They're known as forever chemicals because they don't break down. There's evidence they're linked to cancer, thyroid problems, and other ill health effects. In Gustavus, some residents are speaking out because equipment is already showing up for the $20 million federally funded project that is scheduled to break ground this month, and state agencies are still gauging the PFAS risks.
I would like to trust state government to do the right thing at the airport, knowing that there is a contamination present and that it has been impactful to the community, but I don't have that confidence.
Nicole Gruey is among a number of residents leery of a project that will move contaminated soil. And to be clear, the state has done what it's legally required to do. There just aren't many legal requirements. More than a dozen Gustavus households have been drinking bottled water for years since they learned their wells are poisoned with PFAS from runoff. Gruey lives across the street from the airport, and she's worried the contamination could spread. She and members of the local PFAS advocacy organization are pushing for more accountability from the state.
There is no permanent disposal plan for the contaminated ground. There is no permanent solution to this. They found the contamination. There are plumes across the community.
The state's Department of Transportation runs the airport and is responsible for the contaminants, but it doesn't have to clean them up. It does have a plan to keep contaminated soil from spreading toxins in Gustavus. State regulators approved the plan in early March. But Gruey says the plan doesn't go far enough because it doesn't test the airport runways for PFAS or sample enough of the surrounding soil.
I never thought I would be at a place where I have to advocate on behalf of myself and the community to ensure the state does not do further harm.
We're not going to do any construction work until we resolve those issues.
DOT spokesperson Sam Dapsovich says the agency takes community concerns seriously. It even tested some of the asphalt at the contaminated site after Gruey voiced her concern. That's a step beyond what they're required to do. State regulators say it may be a first.
You know, it is a rather new issue that we have to deal with, and we're figuring it out as we go.
DOT officials point to regulation by another state agency, the Department of Environmental Conservation, that signs off on their safety measures. State environmental regulators don't typically inspect construction at contaminated sites that they've already checked out. It's up to DOT to comply with state regulations. And there's motivation to do that. The agency is responsible for any more contamination. PFAS are known to be toxic, but they aren't considered a hazardous waste substance. There are federal guidelines for how to manage PFAS, but no regulations. And the state is actually out in front of the federal government on this one. But State Senator Jesse Keel says Alaska's regulations aren't enough to keep residents of Gustavus safe.
Right now, the state of Alaska has some very, very weak regulations. They really only cover two of these forever chemicals, and at surprisingly high levels.
Keel says Alaska's agencies typically go farther than they have to, but it still isn't far enough. He's introducing a bill this legislative session that would significantly tighten state restrictions. It would limit the use of firefighting foams with PFAS in them and create stricter protective standards for people. He says it's a start.
You know, unfortunately, I nothing in my bill can create the kind of instant understanding and solidly defensible cleanup standards that we need to get these contaminated water plumes cleaned up under the ground.
There's federal legislation in the works this year that could set nationwide regulations for PFAS. But until any of those bills become law, folks from Gustavus are pretty much left to advocate for themselves. Nicole Gruey says state regulators have responded to some of her requests for additional testing near the airport, but not all of them.
So does it allay all my fears? No. Am I hoping for a good outcome? Yes. And I hope that we've created enough noise that the DOT is going to double down on making sure there's no additional risk to Gustavus, you know?
Until more regulations are set, making noise is about all she or anyone can do. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Claire Strempel.
In other news, the state constitution does not recognize hundreds of tribes in Alaska. House Bill 123 would amend state law to officially recognize those tribes that the federal government already does, KNBA's Trip Krause reports.
During an April 1st meeting of the Alaska House Special Committee on Tribal Affairs, committee members held the second hearing on House Bill 123. Vivian Cortias is the chief executive officer of the Association of Village Council Presidents. The nonprofit corporation serves 56 federally recognized tribes in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta region. While reading a prepared statement during invited testimony, Cortias talked about communities without drinking water and basic sanitation.
The state does not have to be alone in addressing these issues. Tribes are here to help. However, we can only help if the state recognizes we are here, ready, able, and willing to do so.
Cortias said House Bill 123 could be a turning point for the state and would help Alaska become a leader in tribal-state relations. Gloria Simeon is a member of the Rootsakakamute Traditional Native Council in Bethel. During her public testimony, she says the federal government officially recognized Alaska tribes in the 1990s, and there have been memos and proclamations at the state level since, but no official legal action.
I thought that we were done with this and was looking forward to a summit of leaders, nation to nation, tribal nations to the state, with commissioners of every department working together to tear down barriers and build opportunities to begin this partnership. And I am so in support of this bill being passed because it's so long overdue for us to be working together for our nations and this state.
Jones Hotch Jr. also spoke in favor of HB 123. Hotch serves as vice president of Chilkat Indian Village in Klukwan.
It's ironic that the federal government recognizes our tribe, and it's also something else that for us when we're dealing with the state of Alaska, that to sign a waiver at times This is an historic moment, and which side of it are we all going to be standing on?
After time for testimony was closed, Anchorage Democratic Representative Zach Fields motioned to move House Bill 123 out of committee. The motion passed without objection, and it now moves on to the House State Affairs for consideration. In Anchorage, I'm Tripp Krause.
And this is KTOO News.